Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And co-host tonight is the infamous Christopher John O'Shea. Chris, how are you?
I thought it's been a long time since I was infamous. I'm doing great, Drew. I'm doing great. How about you?
I am doing wonderful tonight. Wonderful.
That's great. We have an open show tonight.
We do have an open show tonight. We like to answer our callers' calls. And if you want to call in and say, hey, this is the topic that I want to talk about, this is the topic that will be important to me, and if you could help me with this, I would really be appreciative. And actually, you probably will be amazed. There are probably 10, 15, 20,000 other people, who knows, out there wanting to listen to that answer to that same question, but they just don't have the chutzpah to call in and say, hey, I'd like to be on the radio and ask a question for something that's important to me. So the number is 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and be that guest tonight and direct the conversation of the show, because we are on an open show.
We are. And I have a question for our listeners. Maybe they can help.
Go ahead.
So, how come the state of Maryland hasn't sent out refunds?
How many? You know, there's tons of people and the federal government, too. I can't tell you how many clients we have for, you know, simple tax returns. And the federal government is saying, well, we've got an issue here we got to look at before we can send it out. And it's like, you got to be kidding. That's ridiculous. This is a simple return. I mean, it doesn't take long to even look at it. You know, but they're so backed up, Chris. It's horrible.
Well, it is. And we had one client who IRS says, okay, you owe some money. And so they paid it in. They wrote back and said, hey, you still owe us money. And we wrote with the client and said, well, we did, but here's a canceled check from the Federal Reserve Bank. I forget which Federal Reserve Bank it was. We've already paid. And so they wrote back and said, okay, we received your information. We'll look at it soon and let you know what we think about it. And then 2 months later went by, and they sent the same thing. And maybe 4 months later, hey, you know, we got your response to our inquiry, and we're still thinking. You know, we'll let you know when we look at it.
Well, you got to keep in mind that the IRS in the state of Maryland basically went on vacation from the month of March until the end of August last year, at the very least.
Right, they were not scaled up for working from home.
They weren't, and they still aren't scaled up for working from home to a large degree, because still there's a lot of stuff that comes in via paper that you have to be able to look at and so forth. And then they went on kind of a part-time shift in September of last year. So they're from what I've heard, the federal government is over 30 million returns backed up or inquiries backed up. 30 million. Could you imagine how long it's going to take them to get through that?
You know, if you think of the percentage of the overall that they receive in any given year, that's huge.
That is huge. And Maryland's probably got a similar situation going on. But I will say Maryland's a little easier to deal with than the federal government. You can barely even get through to them nowadays.
Sure.
Right. They're next to impossible. So anyway.
Well, that didn't generate any phone calls, so we still have open phone lines here, Drew.
So you're going to have to come up with a better topic, Chris.
410-922-6680. That's the topic. That's the phone number. Call in, and we can talk about estate issues, insurance issues.
Social Security, you know, we talk about Social Security.
Well, great thing came up today. I mean, it was a reminder that, you know, if you're, you know, Social Security, the timing of when you collect. So we always say have the higher Social Security recipient in a married couple, delay as long as possible. The other person, you can begin taking it right away. But if the person takes it before their full retirement age, that has an impact on what they're going to get from their spouse. If their spouse, if they start collecting, you know, half of their spouse's later on, and you reminded me today, well, but if it's a survivor benefit, that has the one spouse who starts early, pre-full retirement age, has no impact on getting that full benefit from the higher Social Security receiving spouse's full benefit.
Yep. Yeah, so you do have to understand that there's lots of different things
just,
that you can
just
do.
Just interject. We maybe will get this in. Yeah, we've got Rebecca in Pennsylvania. She wants to talk about banks. So, Rebecca, what's your question?
My bank is doing some readjustment of their core management. And what they're doing is they're going to be shutting down and they're not going to be taking anything online. And I'm afraid my Social Security check is going to come when the bank is down. Now, does Social Security know to, like, do it again?
What do you mean by it? I'm not sure what you're saying. They're going to shut their online down for a period of time?
Yep, mm-hmm. And do some kind, they call it core management adjustment.
Yeah, but it'll probably only be for 24 hours at the most.
It's 3 days.
Three solid days.
Yeah, in the middle of the month when I get my Social Security check.
I've never heard of that, but, you know, that's not surprising. But as far as I could tell, you know, what will happen is it'll still be out there. It'll just be held in limbo until they finish their system and they'll pull it in at that time. So I wouldn't assume that you would in any way, shape or form lose it, because I'm assuming it's a big bank and they're smart enough to figure out that they got things happening during those 3 days. My guess is it sits in limbo until that is finished.
That's reassuring. Now, do I have time for one other quick question?
Well, we have to go to our traffic pause. You want to hold on? No one else is online, so we're more than happy to take your next call. But we'll just let our listeners know. You can call in also and ask, just like Rebecca, 410-922-6680. But right now, we've got to take a pause, and we're going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
All right, we're back with Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders, The Game of Love, one of my favorite songs. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, ask a question, 410-922-6680. Go ahead, Chris.
Rebecca, okay, what's your second question?
My second question is, and I guess I'm just this really lucky, one in a million people, I got a letter from the government saying that they want to contact me to do a survey about the census. Now, I already filled out that census form a long time ago, and they also, like, said it's against the law if I don't do it. But what are they going to do to me? And then why are they even asking me now to, like, to do something about the census?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I wished I had a better answer on that one. I don't. Government is government, Rebecca. You know.
Well, have you ever heard? I mean, maybe somebody in your audience also got this letter, because I think it's a scam.
Well, you can look online and see if it's a scam, and that's what I do. Whenever I get those letters, I go and I do an online search and see what others are saying in Google about those kind of letters and. Is it legitimate, et cetera, et cetera? And I think you're going to find it probably is.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do to me? I mean, seriously, like, federal authorities come out to Littlestown and arrest me because I don't fill out this.
I hear you.
What happened to the good old days? I've been out looking at ancestry type stuff, and the good old days where they would just go to the neighbor and have them fill it out.
Yeah, whatever. And I heard the food's not good in federal prison anymore. You used to be able to get the lobster and everything, but they straightened that out.
Oh, well.
There you go.
We're not going to try to find out. Rebecca, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you.
All right.
All right, we've got Robert in Owings Mills. He wants to talk about capital gains. They're a good thing, aren't they, Robert?
Yeah, they are. I got a quality problem. I need a quality help. I got about $1 million of stocks that I'm managing. It's about half in IRA and half in, half qualified, half non-qualified. Okay.
Okay.
I'm around 70, so I'll be taking RMD soon, not yet. And so I got about $300,000 of capital gains in these stocks.
Now, in the brokerage, in the taxable account.
Well, it's divided up. It's about half and half. Let's just say.
So the only one that counts though is in the taxable account.
Well, here's my question, and you'll run with that part too. I'm tired of managing it. I'd actually beat the market regularly, not a lot. But it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And quite frankly, I did an analysis the last couple months, really checking it over the last few years. And I'm not beating what I would get by very much if I just put it in, like, you know, an S&P index fund and a NASDAQ index fund. You know, if I just put it in two or three broad-based funds and let it run, I would be getting only a little less than what I've been able to achieve myself, and I'm tired of doing it. So I have a lot of capital gain. I want to get out of doing it. I'd like to, if I could, put the whole darn thing in just like a QQQ, SPY kind of thing.
So you could do that with your IRA assets, okay? So that's an easy one, right?
Gotcha, yeah.
So that's an easy one. You can just do it. Boom. Tomorrow, you could go and sell. Doesn't have any tax impact. You move it into your index funds and you call it a day. Okay.
Right.
The after tax account's a little more complicated. So you could either pay the taxes, sell and pay the taxes, or you could sell, take the gain, and you could consider an opportunity zone fund and defer the gain until 2026. I don't necessarily know I would benefit from that, though, because if they raise the capital gains tax between now and 2026, that might not give me any advantage, but it is an option that you have to consider. And then there's one more option out there, and the last option is there are funds that you can donate your stocks to, and it's when you donate it to this fund, you basically get shares of the fund in lieu of the stock that you gave them, and now you own a mutual fund of a group of highly concentrated big gain stocks that now you have a diversified pool that you only pay taxes on what they have to sell yearly for the cash needs of the people in the fund. And what are these called, Chris? Do you remember the name of them? They're I have one on my email. Tax diversification fund, I think it's called, or something like that. And so you're not selling the stock, you're actually donating it to the fund, and they give you the fund back, shares of the fund back in return. Now, the negative to it is that anytime somebody sells that, you're always going to be reporting some of the gain of what they're selling at. You also have people might put concentrated positions of ExxonMobil in there. You might not want ExxonMobil in your portfolio and so forth. So there's a negative to that. And also the cost can be a little higher than you would like. Certainly not an index fund cost. So, you know, there are options, Robert, but they're not necessarily great options. If you're going to do it, you're going to have to bite the tax bullet on the after tax portion.
I see. With the funds, it would be kind of delayed because I made a donation. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to get, you're exchanging your shares of stock for shares of the mutual fund. I wish I'll tell you what, I'll look at my email when I get a chance and I'll tell you the name of one of them because I, you know, I don't use it very often. So you keep those things around that you know where to find it if you ever need it.
Exchange fund?
Is that something like that? Is that what they call it? And it's tax free when you move your shares over to it, and they give you back the mutual fund.
Not positive. I'm just reading. I'm seeing if this is the one that we've been talking about at the office. So.
So that's the best I could tell you, my friend. I wish there was an easier way.
If you're able to come up with it while you're there on the show and can spit it out, I'll be listening.
Sure, we'll check at the break. We'll say something.
That would be huge.
Okay, great.
Now, keep in mind, you do have the Opportunity Zone Fund where you can defer the gain for about 4 or 5 years. And then if the Opportunity Zone also makes money, 100% of the Opportunity Zone Fund is 100% tax-free. So here's the deal. So let's say you get $150,000 gain from selling your $500,000 of stocks, okay? So you take the gain, the $150,000, and you put it in an Opportunity Zone Fund. Now the gain is deferred. And what happens is, in 2026, you're only going to pay taxes on 90% of that $150,000 gain. They give you a 10% freebie. And so you'll end up paying taxes on $135,000 in 2026. It's a done deal. Whatever the rates are at that time, that's what you'll pay on. But let's say the $150,000 in the Opportunity Zone Fund grows to $300,000. And they liquidate the deal, that $150,000 is 100% tax-free. And there's some really cool Opportunity Zone funds out there.
I see. The gain is tax-free.
The gain on the Opportunity Zone fund, the $150,000 you invested, if it's an office building or a warehouse in a disadvantaged zone that they designate as an Opportunity Zone. But here's the cool thing, Robert. You know as well as I do that these politicians don't necessarily always choose Opportunity Zones. They also choose areas of the state and country that they happen to own real estate in. And it's maybe not totally an Opportunity Zone and needs economic revitalization. So there's always some cool places that you can invest in. You know, it doesn't always have to be an up and coming.
How soon are the properties in an Opportunity Zone sold? I mean, can they be held for decades? And so you never know what the gain is till you're dead and gone for years?
I mean, that is a theoretical possibility. That's why you have to be prudent about what investment you're going to put your Opportunity Zone money into. So there's thousands of them you can choose from. So they're not like they're difficult to, you get lots of choices, in other words, okay?
Okay, I got to look into it some more. Thank you.
Great question, Robert.
With that specific name, but I'll be listening. You guys are great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep. Take care.
Okay, we've got, I think we can do Chris here. Chris in Pasadena wants to talk about alternative investments. Have you been doing some there, Chris?
Well, I've been introduced to some with some investment opportunities. So I'm interested in what you think about things like private credit funds, private real estate, income trusts, and even SPACs, you know, that special acquisition companies and private markets.
Yep, it's a great question.
I'm going to let Chris answer that question because he's the
main question. Well, I mean, we've looked at this topic for a long time. And so, yes, I think we think there are some opportunities there. I mean, SPACs, there's a lot of different ways of doing it. There are people working those in different angles, some more conservative than others. We've looked at private credit. I mean, you know, some person deemed it the golden age of credit, right? But that's been going on for a while now, ever since, you know, May of last year. So that's not young. It's not a young trade. You have to look at the volatility. We've looked at some of those, and you have to look at how you're being compensated versus the volatility that's happening. Some of those things really dropped. We saw some of those things dropped, 20% initially last year. Private real estate investment trusts, the non-publicly traded things, we think there are some. We looked at those, and we think there are. So there's one particular one we think is really good. And so it's just a way of they're shielding themselves from the flow of people deciding, like last March, hey, I need to dump my my investments. I need to get cash. They don't have that. In most of these, you can get them only at the end of the month. So passions get to die out a little bit before you say, okay, I'm going to put this money aside. It's the other things that people sell. I mean, they were selling municipal funds that were taking an 8 to 13% loss last year at their worst. So, the REITs, the non-publicly traded REITs allow for the shielding from that, kind of the illiquidity premium, as we call it. And so, yeah, we think there are some really opportunities for ones that are in the right sectors.
But with the private REITs, Chris, and all these things, you got to make sure you're not paying commissions to somebody.
Good point.
Right.
You know, so you got to make sure you're not paying commissions. And Chris isn't being inconsiderate, not telling you which one we bought, but the SEC doesn't allow us to say too much about what we're buying on the radio.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we're probably similar. I noticed that there's some much higher minimum. Some of them have, you know, like a one-year soft lock with a, you know, different exit strategies.
Some of them you can just get in for $2,500.
Yeah, but the ones that we like are ones that have very little commercial office space and very little retail space. And there aren't many of them out there that are like that. Most of them are holding 25-30% office and retail. But there is a couple out there that are holding next to nothing in those. And those are the ones we really like, run by very smart people.
Okay.
All right?
All right, appreciate your feedback. Love the show, and welcome to Florida as well.
All right, thank you. Thanks for calling. We're going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Chris, I told you I was going to quit silent running and the mechanics.
Mike and the mechanics, yeah?
That's what I said.
You want to mute there on the other side. So we've got several open phone lines, 922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. And or we could sit here and talk about Drew's newfound music encyclopedic.
His new
talent. After he sings Fighting Soldiers, then he can go from there.
Anybody online?
No, there's nobody. We have several open phone lines. In fact, they're all
open.
We have
totally open phone lines, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and get the conversation going in a direction that would be beneficial to you.
You were going to talk to Robert,
names of the funds are they're called exchange funds or transfer funds. That's the terms but I haven't been able to actually find a specific one. A lot of them are kind of private. They run as like a partnership, and they might be done by an advisor, and they might pull together 30, 40, 50 of their clients and do it. I know we've talked about doing it, but at this point in time, we haven't had a situation where we really felt it would be beneficial. But that's what you would want to Google search, defer concentrated positions in an exchange fund, or defer concentrated position opportunities to buy an exchange fund or a transfer fund and see what you come up with. And if I could find one specifically for you that's an opportunity, I'll let you know. I know there are a couple mutual funds that do offer these. So if I can find them, I'll let you know. All right, Chris, anything else?
Well,
we can just go for the night and let Chris Kleproth handle the rest of the show. From this point on,
and he'd do a great job. No doubt.
Our listeners have abandoned us, 410-922-6680. They probably don't want to be driving around out there in that rainstorm.
I was going to say, the traffic over here was almost non-existent. So
wow.
I made it here in no time at all. So they're waiting it out until the hurricane warning ends at 7 o'clock. So my point was, I thought the office was safer, right, than home. So.
Some of the topics that we always like to talk about, you know, Roth conversions and why Roth conversions and doing Roth IRAs and Roth 401k contributions are so important. And the amazing thing to us is how many people come into our office. We had a client come in just as recently, very, very significant amount of assets. and had next to nothing in Roth IRAs. He was the one that told his 401k provider that starting 2021, you're going to start offering a Roth 401k. I mean, it was his own company, but nobody had ever told him to do a Roth. He had to go to them, his quote-unquote advisors, and tell them. I mean, I don't think we've done a Roth, we've done a 401k without a Roth feature in it since it was established in 2007, and I don't think we established a 401k without a Roth after 2010. We did our own back in 2010. And if you're an owner of a company and you have somebody who's quote unquote your advisor on your 401k and you don't have a Roth 401k, you need to fire them, period. End of the story. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be flippant or anything. I'm telling you the absolute truth, because anybody who has a company right now making good money and doesn't have an option for a Roth 401k is missing an incredible opportunity. If you're not pounding the table of your company saying, why are you not providing us Roth opportunities? And it doesn't have to be a 401k, it could be a 403b. I know there are 403b big providers out there, 403Bs, who still don't offer their employees a Roth 403B. And that is shameful, just
especially for
downright
people,
shameful.
Right, especially for people who are, you know, at the lower end of the income scale or just moderate income. You know, rates for those folks are not that high. You're putting money tax deferred and, you know, anyhow.
I mean, just think about it. You got a person working in your company who's making $60,000-$70,000, and the only option they have is put the money in pre-tax, and maybe they have two children and total family income of $70,000. They're in the 0% tax bracket, Chris.
Right.
And to ask them to put money in pre-tax, which ultimately they're going to end up paying taxes on in the future, is insane. And the high net worth people who are sitting in a 37% tax bracket right now, with undoubtedly going to 39.6% in 2026. There is no doubt about that, and maybe sooner, even higher sooner. You know, to not have a Roth 401k is shameful. Any employer out there, I want you to be telling your employers, or if you have a quote-unquote advisor on your 401k, 403b, or whatever, and they're not doing Roth, you need to fire them. You need to get rid of them. You need to tell your employer you need to provide a Roth immediately beginning 2022 at the latest, or else we're going to look for another place to go to work or something of that. And I don't know what you can do, you know, but if you own the company, you can definitely fire the advisor, you know. And don't let the advisor say, oh, yeah, we'll put a Roth in. No, you should say you should have done it years ago. You're obviously incompetent if you haven't Roth 403b, 401k in for my company. So I need to get rid of you, and I need to get somebody who's going to take care of us and teach us what we need to be doing. Anyway,
okay, great
don't
point.
Get me riled up, Chris.
Well, I won't. I mean, come on. Hey, we've got Jim in Ellicott City, and he wants to talk about ETFs. What kind of ETFs are you thinking about, Jim?
Okay, well, I had a portfolio that consisted of mutual funds, and I 3 months ago, I converted in kind to ETFs where ETFs for the given mutual fund were available. That wasn't true for all the mutual funds. And my understanding and my research is that I should expect to have a benefit in terms of capital gains and taxes coming
in the ETF. But
yeah.
when you transferred, you had a taxable situation when you transferred. I could care less if you did it in kind.
Well, the transfer is not a taxable event, but any
why not? How did you do it?
It's through an advisor at Vanguard. So.
So how did you do it?
He did it. I didn't do it.
You moved the mutual funds over to the ETFs?
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't a taxable transaction.
That is correct.
He went from an open-end mutual fund to an ETF, and he made it very clear that it's not a taxable transaction.
That's
was
correct.
It an identical fund type?
Yeah, for example, S&P 500 index fund, mutual fund to the companion
S&P 500 ETF fund. Now, that's a different story. Okay. So if you went from identical to identical, and the only difference is one's an ETF and one's a mutual fund, then I would agree that they could do that as a tax-free transfer.
Yeah, and that's what he did. That's what he explained.
Because they did almost identical to what I was talking to Robert about earlier, okay, where you pick up your stock that's highly appreciated and you donate it right into the mutual fund, and sort of that's what Vanguard is doing. They're picking up all your stocks, your positions in that company, and they're moving it over into the ETF in kind for you.
Okay, and of course, any distributions prior to the movement over to the ETF, that'll still be reported separately.
Yes, but you're absolutely right that the open-end mutual fund, even if it was an index fund on the open-end side versus an index on the ETF side, the ETF has some advantages that they're going to be able to minimize some of the capital gains you're going to pay on that fund when there's adjustments to the S&P 500 and so forth. So, yeah, good call. Good question. Okay. I wasn't picking up on thinking that you were going from one index right to the absolute same index. That's a different story.
And I did see, a small reduction in the fees.
Yeah, you would get a small reduction. There's no doubt. It would go from like 0.6, 0.06 to 0.03 or something of that sort.
Yep.
Okay. Good question.
Yeah, thanks.
We got to go,
thanks,
Chris,
Tim.
Right?
Yeah, we do. We're going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Wasted words, that's what I have to say.
Mute the background there. Yeah, I tell you, we've got several open phone lines. We're just going to skip over that, Chris. We're going to skip over that. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We've got 10 minutes or so left on the show, so call in, ask your question. It could be on any topic in financial planning. And so we've hit on a number of the typical hit parades topics we like to cover, but there's so many different situations that we know that we run across in any given week that we know other people could benefit from.
So nobody's online is what you're saying.
That's correct.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're on an open show. If you want to call in, try to get the last few minutes to get your question answered, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And let's see, what's another good topic to talk about?
Kathy, who's coming on the line right now, and she's in Parkville, I'm guessing. So we're going to put her on, and she's going to tell us what she wants to talk about.
So, all right.
Right. And let's see. Transfers.
So,
all right, Chris.
We're having a good time. I should sing while we're waiting.
410-922-6680. We've got several open lines.
I could have ranted about something for a last minute or two.
You could have, but we're saving everybody from that. Kathy, you're talking about transfers. What kind?
Well, just what that gentleman was just talking about.
Okay.
Could I transfer like a Fidelity Contra fund to like an ETF without
No.
Possible.
No, because it wouldn't be an identical situation. See, he was going from an S&P 500 to an S&P 500. And that's why he was able to do that. And it's unique to Vanguard in a lot of ways also. Not a lot of other companies have the ability to do it like they do. So, but if you, Contra Fund is a unique fund in and of itself. So you can't go from Contra Fund to another fund without paying taxes on it. Sorry.
Unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right. But I'm not necessarily sure she needs to, because Contra Fund's still a good fund. So if she likes it, you know, I mean, they still do an excellent job, Contra Fund, that is. It's not one that we would buy right now, but, you know, it's still worthy fund to consider, or if you own it, to keep it, you know. Anything else out there, Chris?
No, we have open phone lines still. So go ahead. You want to rant about something?
I got something I'm sure that I can rant about, you know. And, you know, the other thing that I struggle with is insurance agents. You know, I see too often where people coming in and we're looking over their insurance policies and they make no sense whatsoever. They're totally devoid of risk management, which, you know, the concept of risk management is where you say, okay, if I die, let's just use the risk of death. If I die, what's going to happen? And how much do I want to make sure that the people who are attached to my income or my assets, and if I can't continue to earn, what's going to happen to them? And I don't want something bad to happen to them, so I'm going to buy life insurance to take care of that. But I see too often where people come in and they have nobody in their life that they, and yet some insurance agent sold them a policy and said, well, you need to get it now while you're young, you know, because you never know what the future is going to hold. And I'm sure someday in the future, you're going to need this. And it's totally illogical. It's a fantasy in their mind to help them sell the policy to people. I've seen situations where people who are well off have more than enough money, but they buy tons and tons more of life insurance because the agent just keeps selling them more insurance. And as long as they keep buying it, they're just going to keep selling it. And I mean, you know, you really need to think about insurance from a risk management perspective. What is it if this risk occurs, if it's death or disability or long-term care or an auto accident or home or whatever, how do I know that the insurance that I have is going to protect the risk and what I need to do to protect myself and my family? And believe it or not, you might say, oh, you're talking about life insurance agents. I'm talking about all insurance agents, auto insurance agents, home insurance agents, life insurance agents, long-term care agents. Most of them are not risk managers. Now you tell me I can't rant anymore.
That's a good point, Drew. They are. No, yeah, you can't. Well, we want to give time for our guests. We've got Tom and Peter, so let's go to Tom. He's got a question about mutual funds.
Hi, Drew. Great show.
Hey, Tom.
I am an aggressive growth investor. What type of mutual fund ETF should I put new money?
Oh, right now?
Yes.
Wow, that's a good question. I guess, you know, right now, if I thought about it from a fundamental point of view, I would tend to say global or international, because the valuations of those securities are still lower. But that doesn't, you know, there's a good reason why they're also lower, because if you look at, if, you know, I saw a thing the other day. Did you see this, Chris? Where the net worth of six or seven of our biggest tech companies, Apple, Facebook, and so forth, is bigger than the entire Chinese stock market. Did you see that?
I did not.
And it was fascinating. And there's a reason why U.S. Is because the ingenuity of the United States is astronomical. And China is doing us an incredible favor right now by throwing all these regulations around. Kids can't watch video games more than an hour, and we're going to teach Jack Ma, you know, and so forth. You're sitting there saying, yeah, go get them, China, because you're going to make sure America is going to be number one forever and ever.
I do know. Apple crossed $2.5 trillion. So
yeah, well, so is Microsoft's over $2.1 trillion. Yeah. So you know, you take all those companies together, it's amazing. So you know, fundamentally speaking, I'm you know, global, international, but you know, you can't deny the U.S. of A. You know, so I also like the ARK funds. I think Kathy Woods is fascinating, what she's done and what she's doing. You know, so, you know, I don't have anything specific I can say to you, but I would say that those are the places I would be looking at if I were you.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling, Tom. We have...
You might have to go to them after
Sharon?
The show.
Yes?
Are you there? You got a question about China and our economy?
Yes. When you guys were kind of talking about it between yourselves a few minutes ago, it made sense that... The biggest companies, Google and Facebook and so on, were bigger or worth more than the economy of China.
But no, not the economy of China. The stock market of China.
Okay, that's what I want to clarify. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, if you know, because I don't, how much stock in these big companies over in the United States does China own?
We got to go, Chris. Unfortunately, you're going to have to answer that off air. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. People you love with love, show them here.